and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study and consideration here in Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verse number 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Our Lord Jesus has fulfilled his gospel. He's risen from the dead, and he is appearing here to his disciples. These teaching passages make this very clear. The Lord is appearing to his group, his people. There's hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem at this time, but he is appearing unto his own. And they are those that, during the time of his ministry, he said, come, follow me, and they follow our Lord and are to be witnesses of him, as the scriptures tell and indicate to us. All those who are saved indeed have a directive from the Lord to be a witness of what Christ has done for them. But it's only the Lord's church that has the authority and the directive, the commission, if you will, to baptize believers. Baptism is not a Christian ordinance, but a church ordinance given to the Lord Jesus. Given authority by the Lord to baptize believers and then to teach them to observe all the things that he has commanded. So this is very much connected and very much directed to the Lord's church here. In his church, he has apostles. Indeed, these are the transition team from the time of the keys of the kingdom having been taken from the nation of Israel, as the Lord has indicated, and given over to his local New Testament Baptist church. Yes, they were not called Baptist in this day, but over the course of the centuries and the millennia, we've been called and named Baptist or Anabaptist, rebaptizers by the world and the religious world. And now in our day, that's been boiled down to a Baptist. And understand this name Baptist, this title Baptist, is not one that we take upon ourselves, but that has been given to us by our enemies. And so that's how we are known yet today. If there would be another rising of persecution in our land or amongst Baptists, it could be that our name may be changed again. But now, at this time, we are called Baptist. Now, everything that calls itself Baptist is not Baptist, though the only ones that are the Lord's churches are those that have succeeded from time, from church to church to church, as churches that start churches, and on down through the course of the centuries. It's not a man that just takes a notion to start up a church. It's not a man that just takes up a notion of baptizing. John the Baptist was sent by God Almighty to baptize. The Lord Jesus went some 60 miles to John the Baptist to be baptized himself. If there was ever one qualified to not need baptism, of course we know that the Lord doesn't need baptism, but he did so as an example to us. He certainly needed to have baptism, the authority of baptism from God, as a man, to pass that on to his church. John chapter 4 makes it very clear that the Lord Jesus did baptize himself, but his disciples, his apostles, of baptism. So baptism is a church ordinance, a supper, a church ordinance to remember the Lord's death, and the commission given to the Lord's church. This is a church commission given to our Lord, and that's what we want to take a look at here in the wrapping up here of the Gospel of Mark, and then other passages that we'll take a look at. And so the Lord Jesus appears to them, and this seems to be on Sunday, the first day of the week, as they're there together and sitting at meat. The 11, the replacement for Judas, has not been selected, and he upbraids them because of verses that we read Earlier, the two on the road to Emmaus came and said that they saw the Lord. The women, Mary Magdalene, amongst others, said that they had seen the Lord. And so Jesus, he upbraids them. He rebukes them for not believing the testimony of their brothers and sisters about his appearing, his rise, raising from the dead. He had said that he would do so. But they were dull of hearing and hard of heart. It says here, their unbelief. He upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. They didn't receive him. Oh, how we take the simple and complicate it in our hearts and minds. We take the simple, we take the direct, and we complicate it in our hearts and minds. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. This is a directive. Not to all believers, not to all of Jerusalem. This is to his church where he has met with them. And he said unto them, verse 15, Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our Lord had given the directive previously that he was only sent to the house of Israel and the nation of Israel. And for the most part directed the disciples, the apostles, to preach in the same. But now the Lord Jesus says, go into all the world. Now, the apostles, as we find out in the book of Acts, there's seemingly an idea there and a thinking that they would go in all the world to the Jews, okay? But the Lord's purpose is to every person. Listen to what he says. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's there. Our Lord has said it. Every person, preach it to them, Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter what nation they're from, where they are, where they live in the world, preach it unto them. I think the brethren misunderstood about that for a while until the Lord took Peter down to Cornelius's house, and the Lord, by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, saved him. But the Lord says, this gospel is going to go into all the world. Go ye, you go, you, not everyone, but you, church, my church, you go into the world, you preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ having come, become a man, and having suffered, bled, died, being buried, and risen again from the dead, as prophesied in the scriptures, you go preach Jesus' gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so some have confusion about this verse. The Lord Jesus, of course, as he has instituted and as he has taught, is that believers should be baptized. Believers, okay? Not candidates for salvation, but those who have believed, those who have received our Lord, those that have been saved by our Lord Jesus Christ, they should be baptized. They should be joining one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. They should be learning from their brothers and sisters and the teaching that goes on in the church there by the teachers and pastors and such. And he says here, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We have other passages in the scripture that make very clear, even this passage that makes very clear that baptism is not a saver, but baptism is a showing forth of what has happened to the individual. The Lord Jesus Christ, he goes on in this verse saying, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And it's the by faith, the way that the thief on the cross was saved, the way that Abraham was saved, the way Isaac and Jacob, Moses, and different ones all through the scriptures, Rahab. The scripture makes very clear that she was saved by faith. That's the way that sinners have always been saved, by grace through repentance and faith in our Lord. God has the answer. And of course, now we live at a time where the gospel's been fully revealed. Jesus has been fully manifested to what we need here in this time. What a glorious time and blessed time it is that we live. And the clarity of the gospel and salvation of our Lord Jesus is just unparalleled compared to what has been in centuries past. And yet sinners don't believe, they don't receive, but praise be to God, there are those that do believe and do receive because the Spirit of God is at work and he brings conviction of the truth and of the need of salvation and of sin. And so he says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The saved are baptized. The saved are to follow in the ways of the Lord. That's the expectation and the pattern of our Lord. Now listen, I'm not saying if you're not baptized, you're not saved. Because there are many who are not saved. I mean, who are not baptized, that indeed are saved. They are. They are saved. If they have repented of their sins before God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are saved. But the pattern of our Lord, given by our Lord, his example is to be baptized scripturally by one of his churches and serve and worship him there. That's the place of full blessing. That's the pattern of the Lord. And as it is with men, as it is with mankind, we take things and we twist things and we misunderstand things. Satan is at work to muddle the water about the truth of the scriptures. And to be honest with you and to be totally open and receptive, the Lord's churches, the Lord's people, and his New Testament churches have not been as faithful as we should be in proclaiming the gospel and edification and growth of those that are saved as we should be, because there hasn't been Baptist churches in regions, and there haven't been the Lord's people at work the Lord's churches to fulfill this commission that we're going to see very clear over in Matthew. There have been those that have been saved, but they remain infantile. They're not taught. They don't learn. They have salvation. Oh, they're going to be in glory. They've been saved by the grace of the Lord. But they just don't know about right baptism and right church service and membership. He says here, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Faith. What are the things that remain? Three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Faith in the Lord Jesus, hope in him because of what he has promised, and the love of the Lord towards us, and our love one towards another, even towards our enemies, even towards our neighbor. Love that is manifested towards our Lord by obeying him and obedience of the things that he has commanded. It doesn't say there that baptism remains, but baptism is something instructed by the Lord, but baptism is not a means unto salvation, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his own blood. He has redeemed us. He's saved us. He's justified his people. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. These are immediate things, things that are necessary to persuade unbelievers, things that are necessary that are given by our Lord to shore up the saints and for them to understand that the Lord is with them until the time, as Brother Peter speaks about in his epistles, where the Word of God is fully revealed and given unto us. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so the Lord gives a thumbnail sketch of the power and the works of God that he's going to give in his people, in his church, for the sake of this transition time until the Word of God comes along. I see that our time is past for now. May our Lord bless you with his Word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.